I'm Ethan Frisch for Heritage Radio Network On Tour, and we're here at the Good Food Mercantile in Brooklyn, New York. This coverage is supported in part by the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts. I'm here with Kurt Altpeter. I'm here with Kurt Altpeter, who's the president and partner at Run Amok Maple. Kurt, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here.
So tell us the story. What is Run Amok Maple? How did you get involved, and how long have you been doing it?
So I've been involved for 3 years. The company's been around for about 3 years, and it's a kind of the genesis of creating a brand around maple. There really has never been a brand nationally created around maple, and the idea of using maple from a culinary standpoint. And so the idea of sort of putting it in a more, it's an iconic product, and it's been in this brown jug forever. So the idea of sort of, you know, essentially creating a beautiful package with a beautiful product, and then the idea of infusing it or barrel aging it or smoking it, which is primarily what we do, and making it a culinary ingredient. So think cocktails and desserts and glazes and marinades, and really using it in a much different way than traditionally just pancakes and waffles.
Were you a big maple fan before you got involved with the company?
Well, yes, but not as in, I didn't grow up in Vermont. I didn't grow up in New England. I'm from Ohio, so I don't have it in my blood like most Vermonters and New Englanders do. But it's very interesting. It's now, I laugh because my kids, they do have it in their blood. And the whole idea, we don't, frankly, use it as much on pancakes as we do in everything else. I mean, we've gotten to the point where we put it on everything just because there's so many ways to use it.
What are some of the more creative ways that you've come across to use maple?
Yeah, so one really fun way to use it that's super simple is to make hot wings. And you take a cardamom-infused maple syrup, cut it with half Frank's hot sauce, put it in the oven, you know, and let the hot wings cook up, bring it out, flip it around with the maple and Frank's hot sauce, sprinkle a little cilantro on it, and it's just amazing, you know.
Would you walk us through the maple syrup making process? How do you harvest the sap from the trees? What happens next?
Sure. So the sugaring season is very seasonal. It's very weather-driven, right? It's generally from about January to late April, depending on the year. And on average, it takes about 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup. And most of the commercial producers now use lines instead of the buckets, which is sort of the old-time way of doing it. We run about 80 to 90,000 taps every single year, so it takes us, you know, several months to get the entire sugar bush tapped. And all those lines channel into the sugar house where all that is processed. And essentially what you're looking for is spikes in temperature, you know, that get upwards of, you know, top in the 30s or to 40 degrees and then freeze again at night. And that freeze thaw at different times of the year allow the sap to run. And as soon as the trees start to bud out, the season's over. And that can happen in early April. It can happen in late April. But that's basically the cycle.
What happens in the sugar house? What does the sugar house look like?
Well, every sugar house is very different. Some of them have dirt floors and wood-fired evaporators. Ours is very much a modern. It's about 10, 11 years old. It has a giant evaporator, and essentially what happens is the sap runs into the sugar house. We RO it, which pulls most of the water out of it, which just makes it more environmentally friendly to boil down. It takes a lot less time. So we boil the concentrate, and you're literally just boiling water out of it. And if you boil it out, you get syrup. You boil it a little further, you can get cream. You boil it further, it goes to candy. And if you take almost all the water out, you get maple sugar. And those are kind of the four main maple products that you've got out there.
What does the sap taste like before you boil it?
Well, it's primarily water, so think of it just like a sweet water is really what it is. It's literally pulling the sap, not sort of down from the tree, but it's pulling it up, and it's very good, actually. There's some great companies out there that are actually producing beverages that are made just from the raw sap.
And you have to reduce it quite a bit, right? What's the ratio of
8% or something like that? It's an incredible amount of water that you're pulling out of that product. That's why we RO it to start, because you'd be boiling it for a long time to get all the water out if you don't.
What does it smell like in the room when it's boiling?
It smells amazing. It smells amazing when you're boiling the sap and making the base maple syrup. And then we infuse a lot of our products. So, you know, we have a cinnamon vanilla or a cardamom or a ginger infused. And when we're producing any of those flavors, it smells amazing when we're doing it because we use all the raw ingredients, so it's very aromatic.
You have a background not in food. Tell us about your background.
Yeah, so my background is in software and the internet space, and I had left my job looking to either start something on my own or partner with something, and it's kind of a longer story, but Eric and I met. Our Sugarbush is part of a National Audubon in Audubon, Vermont, bird-friendly certified, think of like certifying for organics. This is certifying for bird-friendly maple sugarbushes. So I was involved with that, met Eric. He was looking to get Run Amok started. I was looking to do something really organic and startup, and we kind of struck it off from there. It's been a ton of fun and successful since.
Have you found any overlap between your previous career and what you're doing now?
Yeah, in the end, I mean, business is business, right? Whether you're making software or producing maple syrup. So Eric has a law degree, and so he's an attorney by trade. I have a sort of a business background, and it's really been a great blend. His wife, Laura, again, is the culinary side of the equation, and we've hired a really amazing team of folks that have been in the maple business for a long time. So we've got a lot of sort of industry knowledge, we've got a lot of the business, and then we have a lot of the creative and culinary side as well. So a lot of overlap and a lot of synergy there.
How do you come up with the flavors that you use for your infusions?
So we get flavor suggestions all over. In fact, just here at the Good Food Mercantile, we had someone bring up, you know, infusing maple syrup with cacao. And there's just, you know, Laura, again, is sort of our creative person behind it. And we've tried. There's probably, you know, a graveyard of hundreds of different flavors. I can tell you one that, you know, don't infuse maple syrup with wasabi. Doesn't work. Thought it might be a good idea, but it didn't. But we look at what's going on in culinary trends. Again, Laura's really good with it. We do a ton of experimenting, and we just, you know, try it out and see what works. And even with something as basic as our cinnamon vanilla, a lot of it comes down to sourcing of ingredients. We probably tried 50 or 60 different vanillas and cinnamons to get the actual one we like, because the variation in ingredients out there is pretty significant.
You had a big break very early on in the company. Tell us that story.
Yeah, so it was pretty exciting. We launched in April of 2016 and had just gotten things rolling. We had applied to get into the Fancy Food Show, and they were sold out. And we got a call about June 1st, and they said, hey, there's an opening. Do you want to come? We barely had literature. We're still debating whether we were going to call ourselves Run Amok Maple or not. And we just said, you know what, let's do it, like kind of saying it's maybe this is fate. And we went into the new products pavilion, and, you know, as Oprah's team does, they go around looking for products. Something jumped out about our product with them, and we ended up a month later being selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. And as you would guess, it just hockey sticked, you know, the whole business and everything, and got us a lot of exposure more than anything, which was amazing. So that was a lot of fun.
What was Oprah's favorite thing? Which syrup did she like?
Yeah, so it was hibiscus, bourbon, and cinnamon vanilla, and it was in a gift pack. It was this beautiful black box with a magnetic closure, so it was sold as a gift set, obviously around the holiday time. And so that product, you know, did really, really well, but it also got sort of these unique different flavors in just thousands of people's mouths. And that's, with our product, like many products, it's different, it's unique, and someone isn't necessarily going to spend, you know, $17 or $20 until they taste it. And so getting this out as a gift into tons of people's, you know, kitchens and trying it and experimenting with it really had a kind of a long tail effect for us to get people to say, okay, this is actually kind of cool. I can do a, you know, a hibiscus maple syrup on, you know, blue cheese for an appetizer. That's super simple, but really different.
What are some of the most surprising uses you've seen people using your syrup for?
Yeah, well, tons of different cocktail ideas with it. We've actually been experimenting with one of the distillers here at the show, but one of the funnier ones is smoked maple syrup in tuna fish. Sounds a little weird, but something about smoky and sweet with a little bit of the salty and the tuna. Smoked maple on a grilled cheese sandwich is amazing as well. The whole cardamom that I mentioned earlier with Frank's hot sauce, like it was just a random thing, and it's just really, really tasty. So, you know, there's with maple, because it has not been used in really that many creative ways over the years, it's kind of a, you know, blue ocean, not to use an overused term, but it's just, there's a lot of room for growth in that.
Maple seems like such an iconic ingredient. Why do you think it hasn't been used more? Why isn't it on more menus outside of a stack of pancakes?
Yeah, sure. It's an expensive product, right? I mean, it's $40+ a gallon for maple syrup. That's for even plain maple syrup. And it's a bit of a provincial product. So unless you're from maybe the upper Midwest or New England, it's just not a product that yet has gotten completely all over the country. And that's changing dramatically. And with the growth in maple production, there's been a major, major spike in the last 5 years in maple production. So that's getting the product out there. And then, you know, every segment of the food industry is always looking for new and better things. And maple is right now, ice cream stores, you'll see maple, coffee and tea shops, you'll see it, all the bars, you're starting to see it. And even, you know, the Starbucks and the Dunkin' Donuts now are doing maple lattes and maple things. So it's just taken time. And I think largely because it's been an expensive, you know, provincial product. So
what is pancake syrup, or what are most people using that they think is maple, but actually isn't?
Outside of New England, I mean, if you go to the grocery store, 3/4 or more of the aisle for maple syrup is either Log Cabin or Aunt Jemima, and it's not maple syrup. It's actually, there's no maple in it. It's a high fructose corn syrup that's flavored to taste like maple. And, you know, unfortunately for the bulk of the country, that's what most people grew up on. And that takes a long time to break those taste patterns and whatnot. But it's incredible, though, for us, because if even little portions of that start to come over to real maple syrup over the course of the next few years, it's a crazy amount of growth and opportunity, which really makes it fun.
What do you think are some of the obstacles to making that happen, and how are you going to overcome them?
So certainly historical taste buds, anyone who grew up on that, I wouldn't say maple is an acquired taste, but real maple is not high fructose corn syrup. There's a difference in the taste, right? And so it just takes time for folks to get that. The other is just the perception that maple is very much just a breakfast, maybe around the holidays, pancakes and waffles, and that's it. And so as people start, you know, thinking differently in that regard, but then also seeing flavor-based maples or infused or barrel-aged, now they start to get, all right, it's not just for breakfast, and real maple is actually much better than fake, you know. That's what we're seeing. And just in the 3 years that we've been doing this on the Runamuck maple side, we've seen that just like dramatically shift. I mean, cinnamon, as an example, cinnamon, vanilla, and bourbon barrel aged are incredibly common now relative to where they were a couple years ago. So it's exciting. We're already seeing that movement in that direction.
Where did the idea come from to age the maple in bourbon barrels?
So there's a couple different companies and producers that started it. I mean, certainly with everything that was going on with barrel aging, you know, 3, 5, 10 years ago, it was kind of a natural progression to kind of say, well, gosh, you know, let's try maple. I mean, maple and spirits, you know, have always been something that people have been drawn to. And with the boom in sort of craft distillery and barrel aging in general, it was kind of a natural progression. I'll say the one thing that's really different is maple syrup is hygroscopic. And so what it does is it sucks the moisture out of the barrels, which is great for imparting flavor, but it dries the staves out, and you cannot get it to not leak. Like, you know, aging product is hard, right? It sits for 6, 9 months or more, and, you know, which is, it really gets great flavor, but it's very tricky because it is a mess, and the barrels leak, and it's virtually impossible to stop it from happening. So it's labor intensive, to say the least.
So what do you do? How do you collect the maple that leaks out, or what do you do about it?
It's very hard. We've tried a lot of different ways. There's a few more techniques that we're going to try to see what we can do. There's temperature and a variety of different things that you can do. But maple is a simple product, but it's also a very complicated product in that there's very precise standards around it. So you can't, for example, just soak the barrels, because that moisture will end up in the maple syrup. It drops the density and you're out of spec type of thing. So unfortunately, there's a lot of loss, or too much loss right now. And that's a big part, both just in general, you don't want to waste it, but financially we don't either. So it's an ongoing process that all the folks that do barrel aging are still sort of wrestling with out there. So TBD on that one.
Where can our listeners learn more about your company and find your product?
Sure. Well, runamuckmaple.com is our website. We do a lot with e-commerce. You can find us on Amazon. All the Whole Foods around the country carry us, and we're in every state and a lot of small independent and specialty food stores as well.
Kurt, thank you very much for joining us. This is Heritage Radio Network on Tour. I'm Ethan Frisch, host of the Why Food podcast. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.